Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A composer and musician was in residence at Central College recently. She shared her joy of music and her experiences as a transgender woman. Let's go in-depth with Aura Uzel from Dubuque.
So, Aura, you're a composer and a musician.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like to try to make a living as a composer and musician in Iowa now?
It can be pretty difficult trying to figure out how to bring in an income, especially because I'm a classical pianist. That makes it a lot more difficult. I need to seek out more agencies and maybe try to find an agent. And I've got an uncle, actually, who was in staffing agencies for many years before he retired, and he's trying to hook me up with somebody in Minneapolis. But being a concert pianist, that's one of the things we kind of go through, is trying to figure out, you know, how to get known, how to have people understand that they can hire you, and just get the word out there that I've got this talent. So this is a good stepping stone coming here to Central, because you know, then I get to see people who understand what level of skill is. You know, my professors and so forth, the professors who are here, you know, they came and they listened and they really liked what I was bringing, and it's something new and different. And new and different is not always easy to find in the classical music arena. So, and especially when it's accessible enough to people's ears to hear it.
And to compose, lay out the experience of composing a piece to us, could you?
Well, composition traditionally is writing down all the music. But what I've actually, that's what I started doing at Central, but I have since moved more to improvising. I do improvisatory meditations on piano. So I will sit down at the piano and I will compose right there, playing whatever comes to me. And there are ideas that I use continually throughout different meditations and performances. But it will vary every single time. It'll always be different. So my composition kind of stands out from other composers in the sense that I'm not writing down anymore. I might go back to writing down more when I'm also thinking, in addition to as a concert pianist, I'm thinking about going back to doctoral school for composition. And in that case, I would need to do more writing even before that to get accepted into a school like that. So, because I would like to finish my doctorate. That has been my original intent 10 years ago, is that I wanted to continue on to my doctorate and then teach.
Well, it sounds like a little bit like jazz. Is it different than jazz, what you do?
It's different than jazz. I think jazz has more of a general style. It's weird to say, but jazz is more restrictive. But jazz normally isn't really restrictive at all. It's very, very open, and that's why people like it a lot. But it's less restrictive in the sense that I can go into more dissonant territory than jazz allows. It doesn't have specific rhythms that are usually used or specific chord progressions that are usually used. And of course, all of these are, you know, what's usual, what's normal in music. You know, the point is to break those rules. That's how composition kind of happens.
And so do you have the ideas before you sit down, or they come to you as you start playing?
They kind of come to me as I start playing. Sometimes I'll get them in advance. They'll be like, oh, I should try this one thing. And you know, next time I get to a piano, I'll try that out. But yeah.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Aura Uzel.
When you grew up a transgender woman in Iowa. Can't even imagine what that was like. And you, not just in one place in Iowa, you lived in a bunch of places.
Yeah. My dad was a Presbyterian pastor, actually. So he specialized in redevelopment of churches. So these are churches that are almost dying, in some cases literally, as in their membership is very old. So he was trying to get those churches re-energized. In a lot of cases, there's nothing doing for that. They were just going to go. And so like it was almost like clockwork. Every 5 years, we moved to another church, and he tried again. He'd tell them how to change everything, and they'd be like, well, this is the way we've always done it, and we don't want to change. And then we'd move, and then they'd make the changes. And some of them survived and did well when they finally made those changes that he'd tell them to do after they put their problems on him. So it was a very thankless job.
Well, did the communities accept you? Was it okay?
Well, I wasn't out as a kid. You know, when I was a kid, I realized, you know, I have experiences throughout my entire childhood. Gender manifests around ages 3 to 6 or 7. Usually, you can ask a developmental psychologist for the specifics. But it's very, very early that our gender manifests. And most people don't even think about it because the gender that we're told we are is the gender we are. You know, I was told the gender that I was male, and that's what I was assigned, but that's not what I was feeling. And those weren't the choices I was wanting to make. And, you know, grew up further, got teased in elementary school and beaten up. And by age 13, I heard the word for the first time, transsexual. And I was like, ooh, that's what I am. That's me, you know. And I went and looked it up, and it took a few years to find decent information. And it took a lot of, you know, 2 years of a lot of soul searching and figuring out who I am. Then I came out to my mom when I was 15. But the way she looked at me like I was something completely foreign, it sat with me the whole day. I was physically ill that whole day at school. So that when she picked me up, I said, no, it's just a phase, you know, whatever. Maybe I haven't dated anybody or whatever, you know. And just kind of brushed it away. And we never talked about it for 4 more years. And then I went to college here at Central. And that's when it kind of came to a head. You know, at college, everybody's actually trying to be themselves and becoming more of who they really are. And it was like, I can't not do this anymore and try to hide it, you know. So I came out to a couple of my friends, and then I had a crisis where I ended up sitting in the highway on University Street there, waiting for cars to come. But I get up out of the way of the car, so, you know, my counselors have told me it's more of a cry for help than it was a suicide attempt. But there definitely has been suicide ideation. And actually, in transgender people, the frequency of that is 1 in 2, almost 1 in 2 transgender people consider suicide, and 1 in 3 attempt it. So it's a very, very large number of transgender people have to deal with that. I got through it, and I gradually came out to people. I used the rumor mill to my advantage. One of my friends asked if she could tell her roommate, and we both knew that her roommate was kind of gossipy, so I went ahead and said, yeah, okay. So by the next day, the entire college knew about it. The advantage that gave me is that then if people wanted to ask me questions, they had to admit that they found out, not for me.
And the reaction?
Mixed. You know, there was a little bit of an LGBT group here who were very, very supportive, and they were very important. And a lot of those people, the advisors from that group, are the reason why I'm back here now, is because they invited me, and, you know, word kind of got out to the different administrators and professors who knew me when I was here, including music professors, who were all like, oh yeah, let's have her come, you know, because they, you know, I was a good student, and I was important for the LGBT group at the time. So, but the rest of the college, there was a lot of non-support. At the time, the group InterVarsity was very, very big on campus here. And they made their officers sign agreements saying that homosexuality is a sin. And in the summer between my junior and senior year, the class president, who was part of InterVarsity, said he cannot sign that because he's gay.
And this was when?
This is the summer between my junior and senior year at Central. 2002. So he came out. I was already out, but now it was a big campus-wide thing because it was the class president, and it involved InterVarsity. So it actually became kind of a big deal. And then we had a little bit of a conference for LGBT awareness here. We had a I think it's David C. Myers from Hope College came in and talked about his experiences, how he was very much against it, and then he had a friend who came out and realized, you know, he realized that, you know, there was no reason for him to be against it. And so it was a shifting kind of environment. You know, whether or not it was hostile is kind of nebulous. You know, when I stayed around the people who I knew cared about me, it was okay. But there were times when I did fear for my life, like going across campus at night.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Aura Uzel.
We have listeners that just think, you're born male or female, that's it, and that's the only acceptable choices. What do you say to them?
Well, it's not scientifically true. there's intersex people, and there's even more varieties. There's all the different genetic varieties that there are. There's not just XY and XX. There's also XYY, XXY. There's Klinefelter's, if you look up Klinefelter syndrome. There's people who are intersexed, a whole variety of variations. If you're going on the biology anatomy argument, there's still so many variations. There's women who have MRKH, which means they're born without a uterus, so they don't menstruate. So if you're basing it based on menstruation, that singles out women who are, you know, quote-unquote born women, but they don't have a uterus. I wasn't born with a uterus either, you know. But people see that as if it's something different. And, there's so much variation that it's hard to say that there's just male and female. And I think most of the people who are against it, they like to make the theological argument. But the problem is that if you're making a theological argument, if you're making a spiritual argument, then no one can really object because it's simply opinion. And you know, especially in this election year, everybody's all about opinion and feelings, and that those are the only valid things, and that facts don't matter, which doesn't fit in an academic environment. It doesn't fit in a theological environment, because when we talk about theology, we're talking about the academic study of the Bible. So when you're looking at it from a theological argument, you understand the background, the context, the reasons for why those societies at that time had these different rules. If you look at Deuteronomy 22:5, where they have, basically it's the transgender clause in all of those, you know, Levitical laws, as it were, the context around 22:5, 22:6, I believe, is about whether or not you can pick up babies from a bird's nest and eat them. 22:8 is basically a civic code for railings. It's a parapet. You're supposed to have a parapet on your roof. The context doesn't fit. It's a series of civic codes. And if you look at it as a series of civic codes, you remember that different cities have different things, and we're talking about 3,500 years ago. Maybe they might have had different laws for different reasons for, you know, of what they were handling. So, you know, I try not to go with the theological argument all that much, because there's not a lot of rational discussion actually happening on that front. So I don't know if you have listeners who are going to be very angry and comment angrily or something like that about it. I don't want to really foment that. Probably too late now. I don't know.
What's the most important thing for our listeners to take away from this interview? What would you like to...
For me, the most important thing is love and respect and honor for other people. People forget about the difficulties that other people go through in their lives. They don't have the perspective. They think about themselves or about their own children or about the people who are around them directly. And they lose a perspective of what other people are going through that is far, far worse than what anyone in their circles are going through. And so they say that their rights are being infringed on, but everybody has rights. And whose rights are being infringed on more? I think that's really the issue. I was talking to a class full of people who are going to be future teachers. And, you know, the bathroom argument always comes up with transgender issues, you know. And the bathroom argument that the argument that people say is, well, are my kids safe? The problem is that those are people whose kids are not transgendered. And the people whose kids are transgender, they're really saying emphatically, are my kids safe? Because it's the transgender kids who are getting discriminated against. It's transgender kids who are getting beat up in bathrooms. It's transgender kids who are getting thrown against lockers, who are having their cars graffitied on, who are being bullied to the point that they don't go to school anymore, who are ostracized by their families, by their friends, by anyone and everyone around them, discriminated against by administration, discriminated against in bureaucracy. I have trouble getting a license that has the right gender on my driver's license. There needs to be an understanding of perspective on just who's getting harmed by whatever our policies are. And I think there's some people who think that the only policies that matter are the ones that do the least harm to them rather than doing the least harm overall.
Thanks to Ora Uzel for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.